Could you talk about the last time you saw him?
Oh, well, we're here in the church that we grew up in, and it was a particular Sunday, and I was in the choir loft, and he was seated in one of the old oak pews. This church was built in 1912, and he was under the huge stained glass window that lends a golden light to this sanctuary. And he was he was always robust, and he wasn't heavy, but he was full. You know, he had a full face, he wasn't muscled or defined, but he wasn't pudgy, but he was, just normal looking. And I was struck by not having seen him in 10 years, how emaciated and how gaunt his face had become. And of course, he was losing his hair, and it was very golden still, and particularly in this golden light. And his beard, I guess, he was in his late 20s at that point, maybe 27. And I remember looking at him and just thinking he looked almost, I can't think of the word, ethereal. He didn't, how when you're in a light streaming in and the person sort of becomes diffused in the light. And I was struck by how much he had changed since the robust young boy I knew who was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And here he was 10 years older, and he did not look healthy, and he did not look happy. He looked haunted. And I didn't know why, but I could recognize the difference. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was that 79 or?
Well, let's see. I came back in 79, so yes, it was. Yeah. I know Helen came into the bank on a Monday, and she said, "I talked to Brees last night." And I said, "Oh." And I came back to work at the bank April 1st, 1979, because it was April Fool's Day. You remember that. And so Brees was already going on April 1st, wasn't he?
Ninth?
He killed him. I think that's right. That's right. So Helen said to me, "I talked to Brees last night." It was a Sunday night. I think that she talked with him, and I told him, "Robert has come home. Why don't you come home, Brees?" And yes, within a week, he had killed himself.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And I always had to wonder, I know anyone who does that is depressed,
right.
But did I add to that because, I'm Chester the Shithouse Mouse. And I was able to get out of town and come back. And I've always wondered, Brees didn't feel comfortable coming back to this environment because he was different. And I could come back and go to work at the bank and enjoy the folks here and be a part of this community. And I don't think he thought that he could.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's going on,
April 8th
that he took his life. And was it Palm Sunday evening?
Yeah.
Yes, Palm Sunday evening. So, that's just always been in my thinking that Helen thought he would she wanted him to come back and write in the house where he grew up with his old typewriter banging around writing his stories, and it was just a pipe dream. That was nothing that he could come back to.
And he was still in school, right?
I think he was teaching.
He's teaching,
yes, at a military school.
Okay.
Right. He had a teaching. And it's been said, Helen told me, that it was over some girl that he was had a crush on, maybe thought she was interested in him and that he was over in her house that Sunday evening. And she came in and she was scared because she thought she had an intruder. And then whatever transpired between them, and I'm purely assuming all of this, she may have said, "What are you doing in here? You scared me to death. How dare you come into me?" Whatever she said, and obviously he had been drinking. Mm-hmm. And whatever she said, I think, crushed him. Mm-hmm. And she was not returning his affections. Yep. And he went out to the tree. And I was always, I may not get it exactly right, but don't ask why. Just feel what I felt. Is that close? Don't ask why I killed myself. Just feel what I felt.
Was that on his note? Or?
No. How did we know that?
We just did. There was no note.
No, there was no note. Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe the fella wrote it in the afterward. Maybe that. I don't know. It came from something. Uh-huh. All right.
Came from my dreams were like that about it.
Is that it? Okay, and Helen, his mother always said that he would have this dream where he was shooting the rabbits and then they just pop right back up. That's on the DVD that I gave you. Mm-hmm. And she thought that he thought he'd just pop right back up.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Helen could never accept the fact that it was a suicide. And because most of my communication was with her, I didn't know until the book came out and I read the foreword and the afterword that it truly was a suicide. You know, we had a funeral and a Roman Catholic was in charge and of the service, and I didn't know that he'd killed himself. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. For years until the book was published. It was how long did it take for her to do that?
83 it came out.
I was thinking it was, yeah, so 4 years, yeah.
Could you talk about reading the book, and especially what is it, Salvation of Me? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. Well, it was January, and it was a bleak midwinter, and Helen gave me a copy of the book, and so I persevered. It was very, very depressing, and because I knew those people that he wrote of, those people who had no hope of ever having anything better than what he described. And I couldn't think of anything that would help them. Anyway, it was hard to get through, but I'd made my... So then, you know, about two-thirds of the way through the book is this story called The Salvation of Me. And it starts out, I can't really talk about it in the church, but Chester wasn't any ordinary mouse. He got out while the getting was good, and it talks about somewhere on in the story about he could sing and dance and had gone, I think, to Chicago, that toddling town, and it was obviously me. And anyway, as I read on, you know, Chester isn't a very nice person. And I thought, oh. So when I saw Helen at some point in the bank, I said, "Helen, am I Chester?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Did Brees really hate me?" "Oh, no, Robert. Brees loved you. That was the fiction." And I always thought, Brees, maybe he didn't resent me, but he didn't have, I don't think he had a great deal of respect for the person that I was. I was, as I said, more social, more, I enjoyed being with people. I also enjoyed being by myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I could rally with the troops, and I don't think he could, and that might have been sometimes hard on him, since we had been so much of the same ilk as children, then to see me be able to do some things socially that he did not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to participate in MYF, and he didn't want to do, and I guess we can talk about it here. In later years, we've come to know that his father was an alcoholic, and my father was an alcoholic, and there are times in those types of households when things happen that, you know, we weren't aware of at the time. I didn't know what he might have been, what type of abuse he might have had at the hands of an alcoholic father. You know, I was fortunate with my dad. He always got up and went to work, and he came home in the evening, and after dinner he went to the barn. And when he came back from the barn, he pretty much laid on the couch with U.S. News and World Report and went to bed. But as the disease progressed, he did, but I was out of the household when my father's spiral, downward spiral got out of control. And I'm afraid that Brees was a victim of things that were probably not very pleasant, and I'm sure shaped him. And, you know, let's face it, it's genetic, that addictive personality. And Brees evidently became quite a drinker as in his 20s. I don't really know the extent of it, but he did not look healthy, you know, at 27. And that does something to your mind, too, after a fashion. Yeah. If you're not getting proper nutrition and all you're doing is drinking your calories, it's not going to lead to a healthy thinking process, is it? Yeah. Right. Well, obviously, he decided he'd rather be dead. Mm-hmm.
I was having some mic difficulties. Could you talk about the childhood a little bit more? And you don't have to tell that story, but I would like to. I don't think I got the story with the seeing him emerge on the hill with the headband.
Oh, okay. Yes. I can remember once we were in high school on a Sunday afternoon, I was in my bedroom looking out the window at the hills, and at this point the interstate had been cut through the middle of our hills, and I could see Brees on the other side of the interstate climbing the hill to the woods, and he had a walking stick and cut from, you know, just wood, not anything that had been fashioned into a walking stick. It was a tree branch, and a red bandana tied around his head, his forehead, and sort of like a sweatband, and just an army fatigue jacket of some sort. And, you know, back in that day, we wanted to have a cool-looking coat on or jacket. That's before it was cool to be walking around in army fatigues and camouflage. And I just looked at him up there, and I thought, you are definitely marching to a different drummer. Because nobody was climbing the hillsides, period, in their teen spells, and much less with a walking stick and a red bandana looking like something, you know, out of a history book from the 1800s. But this was the world he was living in, and that's where he enjoyed seeing himself as he crossed the great frontier. Meanwhile, I was just hanging out in my bedroom, probably talking to some other teenager on the phone, you know, about what had been going on that week. And right. It was just a different approach to life than what most of us were doing in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Can't think of anything. Mm-hmm. What do you do with this? Just sort of.
It'll go into our archive, and then that goes to WVU, and I have a release form that you can review if you agree. But why don't I have you introduce yourself again? Okay. So we have it. Tell me who you are, where you're from, when you were born.
Okay. Again, I'm Robert Jackson. And I was born May 1st, 1951 in Milton, West Virginia, and lived all of my growing up years in this small town of 2,500, where Brees Pancake and I went to the same United Methodist Church and participated in those types of activities as young children, and graduated from high school in 1969, And Bries was the next year in 1970. So that was the years I was really involved in Bries's life. Right.
Well, thanks so much.
Well, that's not something we do every day, is it? And